Acts 13:2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from there to sail to Cyprus, and that missionary trip begins. I want to speak to you tonight on why missions matters. God bless you. Please be seated. I thank you for your generous commitment to World Missions. Our World Missions Conference helps sharpen our focus on the mission of the church. On the 20th of October, I preached on Proclaim the Name, and my message was to try to remind our church why we have a missions conference, why we give, and why we constantly challenge every member to be a missionary to our respective worlds. On Wednesday night of that conference, Chad Williams from Portland, Oregon, spoke on God in the dark. What a tremendous night that was, how God has worked in that city that is morally dark to bring the light of the gospel to so many people. And then on Sunday, Brother Adam Hundley, the General Director of Global Missions, preached on the question, how shall they hear? And he shared the concept, the vision of Pentecost every day of 3,000 souls worldwide every day, and that there would be 1 million people come into the kingdom of God every year through the efforts of the United Pentecostal Church. I went back and looked at the notes I took on his message, and he said something so profound, many things that were profound, but he said a silent church is a dying church. And he gave church history from the first 4 centuries of how when the church was really popular, but when the church was quiet, when they were silent about Jesus Christ, when they acquiesced to the climate of the culture, then that church began to die. Amen. Sunday night after missions conference, about 10 o'clock, the Hundleys, and then Brother and Sister Adams, regional director to Africa, and myself, we all left and we flew to Johannesburg, South Africa. There's a selfie that Brother Hundley took here. Good luck with media staying up with me tonight at the airport. And so that was a great 14 and a half hour trip with a tailwind of over 100 miles an hour. And so I'll talk about that missions conference in just a few minutes. But I want to give the biblical background to why missions matters as a local church. Jesus Christ was born as a Jewish man and came to a Jewish culture. His own received him not, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. And he saw the 2 greatest examples of faith in his ministry among non-Jewish people. There was that centurion who believed that Jesus did not even have to come to his house, but speak the word only. He understood authority. He said, "I'm a man under authority, and I know how authority works. So if you'll speak the word, I know that my son will be healed." And though Jesus said, I have not seen so great faith, not in all of Israel. He saw something powerful here in the future of a Gentile church that did certainly not live in Jerusalem, Judea, some in Samaria. The second example of great faith was the woman whose daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. She's the woman that said all she needed was crumbs. And thank you, Brother Jury, for preaching about the power of the crumbs of God's Spirit. But Jesus said of her that she had great faith, and her great faith caused her daughter, who was grievously vexed with the devil, to be healed. Now, Jews and non-Jews have always been included in God's plan. And in the early church, the greatest obstacle, I believe, that had to be overcome was the prejudice of the Jewish Christians against Gentile people that God was bringing into the kingdom of God. And I'll not take the time to go through Acts 10, Acts 11, Acts 15, Acts 21 to prove that point, but there was a lot of resistance against the revival that God was sending. But in the Old Testament, the Lord let his people know that that his plan was bigger than national Israel. It was bigger than a certain group or race, as they would think, of people. And in Psalm 2, the Lord said, ask. This is a psalm of the Messiah. And I will give the heathen for your inheritance and the uttermost part of the earth for your possession. Isaiah 54:3, the Lord promised a revival that would break forth on the left hand and on the right, and their seed or descendants would inherit the Gentiles. In Isaiah chapter 60, the Lord said that the Gentiles shall come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your rising. So this was God's preparation for a revival that would sweep the entire world. In all four Gospels and in the book of Acts, Jesus Christ gave us the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19, go into all the world. And he told us that we teach and baptize and teach. I didn't want to read all of these verses. And that you would make disciples of all nations. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. In Luke 24, Jesus gave the Great Commission that they would go and preach repentance and remission of sins in all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In John chapter 20, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This was God's plan. But in the early years of the church, believers were concentrated in the city of Jerusalem. Acts chapter 6, verse 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. But in Acts chapter 8, when persecution hit the church, mainly spurred by Saul of Tarsus, something happened. Acts 8:1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, the death of Stephen, the first known martyr of the church. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now, the book of Acts is really not about the apostles. It's about Jesus Christ, resurrected, ascended, come by the power of his Spirit in every believer, and every believer being an anointed vessel, a missionary, and going everywhere and telling everyone and confirming the word with signs following. That's what the book of Acts is about. The spread of the gospel from Jerusalem to Rome, overcoming every obstacle. It's an amazing key book in the Bible. Amen. But the apostles are still in Jerusalem. They don't leave. There's persecution, and many of the believers are scattered. Amen. I spoke that Sunday, the 20th of October, on Proclaim the Name. That's what they did. If you happen to remember in that sermon, I talked about the preaching of the resurrected Christ, the kerygma, that message of salvation that was preached by all believers to unbelievers. It wasn't discipleship, wasn't helping saints be saved and more sanctified. It was the preaching of Jesus. Amen. That's what they did. And when they were scattered, they went everywhere and they preached Jesus Christ. Now, the church in Antioch of Syria was started by a group of believers who were scattered because of the persecution of Stephen. I want to read this in Acts 11, starting in verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. Anybody remember that from 3 minutes ago? Remember Acts 8, they're scattered. Now he ties us back in. Luke, under the inspiration of the Spirit, is writing this book, Dr. Luke. They were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. They traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. So they're being scattered. They're not going because they want to. They're going because they have to. But they're not ducking and running. They are going and preaching. They are bold, and everywhere they go, they have been saved by Jesus Christ, and now they're preaching that Jesus can save those people then. They're preaching the word to none only, but to the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now the word Grecian in Acts chapter 6 probably means Grecian Jewish widows, Hellenistic Jews. Here it probably means Gentiles, and the context kind of explains that or gives that away. Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Here are saints scattered by persecution, and they get to Antioch, and they do what Christians do. They talk about Jesus Christ. Amen. And so going matters. Missions matters. And it matters because only in going can someone else know. Jesus is preaching and he says, I must go to other cities also, other towns also. For that's why I came. That's why I was sent. It would be nice to park here and we could have a little church and could have a little kumbaya, but there's lost people in the next town. Jesus was not a pastor. He was really like an evangelist, teacher. And so he said, I'm going to the next town. I'm going to spread the gospel there also. That's why missions matters. Because only in going can other cultures, other people groups hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it is from, it's amazing to me that it is not from Jerusalem, but it is from Antioch that the first missionaries are appointed to go and do missions work, Acts 13:2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, I believe that this was through the gifts of the Spirit. It might have been a tongues and interpretation. It might have been a prophecy. But the Holy Ghost spoke in some gathering they were having and said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereinto I have called them. They were not called through tongues and interpretations or a gift of the Spirit. They were called of God, and that call was confirmed by the gifts of the Spirit. I always believe that if God speaks through the gifts of the Spirit, it will never be something that is not the will of God. And I could go into the story of Agabus and Paul and binding his girdle and all of that, but I'll skip that for now. And when, verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed some more, laid their hands on them. Here's the significance of laying on of hands to ordain or send. They sent them away. Now watch how the church is working with the Holy Ghost. So they being sent by the Holy Ghost. Well, I thought the verse before said the church sent them away. But God is working with the church. The Holy Ghost is sending them and the church is sending them. Don't you like that? God and the church working together. They departed from Antioch. They went to Seleucia. There they sailed to Cyprus. So Barnabas and Saul, who is, of course, the Apostle Paul, he'll have a name change on this missionary journey, and they'll start calling him Paul. It starts off as Barnabas and Saul, and then Barnabas will take the lesser role, and it will be Paul and Barnabas. They'll kind of change priority in the missionary journey. It's an interesting story as you read through the book of Acts. But they would be kind of the first appointed missionaries that are kind of described in the church. And by the way, there is one church, and it started on the day of Pentecost, and we are part of that church. I know we call this local congregation, Atlanta West Pentecostal Church, but we are that same church, amen, all the way back to Acts 2. So, sent from Antioch, not Jerusalem. Maybe Jerusalem was too focused on Jerusalem. And they only left Jerusalem because of persecution. So Antioch is more open to the Great Commission and sends them from there. So this is an amazing thing. And all of this plan furthered or fueled by the persecution that happens. Now, this is the first of three missionary journeys by the Apostle Paul. This first journey is Acts 13 and 14, and he goes from Cyprus to Antioch to Pisidia to Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. They preach in a lot of synagogues to Jews, and when they're rejected, then they preach to Gentiles also, and a great many Gentiles turn to the Lord. In Acts chapters 15 through 18, the middle of those chapters, it's the second missionary journey of Paul to Antioch, Galatia, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, Corinth, Ephesus, and back to Jerusalem. The third missionary journey is Acts 18, all the way through 18 through 21. That starts in the middle of those. That one chapter ends in the middle of another chapter. It's Antioch, Galatia, Ephesus, Macedonia, Corinth, Miletus, Jerusalem. Now, there's some repetition where Paul goes back and checks on churches that were established. He's an apostle. He wants to go preach where Christ is not named. He wants to start something where there is nothing. I love that about Paul. He is called to be an apostle. And this last journey might have lasted 4 or 5 years because he spends like 3 years in Ephesus alone. So this is a long missionary journey. But now they're spreading the gospel. They're going into all the world. And it is a global effort. And I want to just, you know, part of what I want to say tonight is that when we give, we're giving so other people can go. And I thank God for your giving because it is making a tremendous difference in the United Pentecostal Church and the work of God at large around the world. In the United Pentecostal Church, at our general conference report, Global Missions has 1,316 missionary workers at all levels of appointment in 200 countries of the world. We have 4.7 million constituents outside North America. There are 40,440 churches and preaching points outside North America in the United Pentecostal Church. And in the UPCI, we define North America as United States and Canada. Should be Mexico, but it's a separate country or work. 33,862 licensed ministers all around the world. 196,000 baptized in the previous year. 268,000 filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And every one of those missionaries were sent by the North American United Pentecostal Church. There are other apostolic works, but the UPCI is the largest Oneness Pentecostal organization. Thank God that we can make a difference. Now, I spoke early when I prayed about America, but I believe God raised up America to be a sending nation. Those 200 nations are reached because somebody from North America went and was funded by them, sent by them, and supported by them. That's the only reason they go. But I want you to know that missions matters. Why does missions matter? Because our giving, our prayer, our support is doing what I just described there. Brother Hunley mentioned in Africa that there are over 17,000 people groups in the world. The UPCI is organized in 7 regions of the world, Africa, Asia, Central America and the Caribbean, Europe, Your Asia, and North Africa. This is a new region for the United Pentecostal Church. And really, Asia should be several sub-regions, but for the sake of personnel, that's just the way it is now. Then the Pacific region and South America. Those are the 7 regions, how we're organized. And then there are sub-regions in Africa. There are 3 sub-regions and leaders over those sub-regions. So I mentioned last Sunday night, 2 weeks ago, seems like it was longer than that, 10 days ago, flew to South Africa. It was the All Africa Leaders Conference. And I asked, I tend to ask a lot of questions, like, Brother Cisco, how many people are going to be there? And he said, like 260 to 270 leaders from all over the continent of Africa. It's held in Johannesburg. I could see the airport from my room, so it wasn't very far. We left our hotel one time to go eat at a restaurant, and that was it. So there's a lot to see and do in Africa, but this wasn't one of those trips. It was really too short. But anyway, it was a great trip, and all of these leaders that were there. So I'm going to show some pictures, and these are just like iPhone pictures, and they may not be the greatest, but I want to talk about this conference a little bit because maybe there was a day, Africa, the dark continent, and see tribes and jungles or plains and, people, and those exist in Africa. But I want to just give you a glimpse of our work in the continent of Africa. Brother and Sister Hundley were there. This is a picture of him ministering. Then Randy and Carolyn Adams, Regional Director of Africa, he's ministering here. Chris and Paula Richardson, they are in Madagascar, and they work with Indian Ocean Islands. They're both missionary kids. When Paula Richardson was Paula Clinney, as a little girl, my wife and I were on an evangelism trip to Selma, Alabama, where her mom and dad pastored, and we've known the Clinneys for many, many years. Brother Chris Richardson is a third-generation missionary to the nation of Madagascar, which is an amazing thing. And they had nothing to do with making the movie. I just want to tell you that. Chris's grandfather, Denzel Richardson, started that work in the 9 o'clock service when Brother Hundley preached. He told the story of Denzel Richardson going to Madagascar, going into like a marketplace, I believe, and saying, "Does anyone speak English?" He did not speak Malagasy. He had an English track. He finally found one lady who spoke English, taught her a Bible study. I think he said this in Africa, that she became their translator. But, you think you need to know more, be more in tune with the climate of the culture, know the language, and you should. But they just went, and then they learned Malagasy. And that is one of the largest UPCI works in the world today because of Denzel Richardson not being afraid to go there. So that was pretty amazing to see them there. And I've known the Richardsons for many years, but in Africa. And then Brother Sister Sully, he was a translator, Canadian missionary, fluent in French. What a great missionary couple this is. Rick and Stacy Perry, Michael and Dan and Benson from the Central African Republic, Benin. He's the area coordinator. Thad and Emily Benson from Benin. And then some missionaries with Georgia roots. I cannot tell you their name because they go into an access-challenged nation. I forgot to tell you that the Sullys are in Senegal. He's an area coordinator. The Perrys are in Botswana. I was going to give you the countries just so you would kind of get a little idea of these people. There's another couple that I can't name. They have many children in their family. They're in an access-challenged nation. And I was so impressed by the young couples that were taking their young families, thousands of miles away to preach the gospel. They really believe that missions matters and that you give up whatever is needed to take the gospel. Amen. David and Ashley Cad to Madagascar, 4 young children. Darlene and her, Jesus and Darlene Magianas, they're from San Diego, California. They went to Angola. That's not much like San Diego. To Namibia. Keith and Beth Eichert in Namibia. His mom just came home after years and years, decades there. Richard Smoke from Tanzania, the area coordinator. I have a picture of him. His wife, Pam, passed away this year. You've heard me mention this, but Pam went to Bible college with my wife and me. She's one of our good buddies, one of our good friends. And Brother Richard told me that we supported them since they were first appointed, my wife and I personally, and then our church. But what a tremendous work they've done in Tanzania. And you've heard this report a little bit along the way, but through the years, we've given over like $21,000 in the work in Tanzania and thousands of dollars on trips that have gone there. And this year and next year, we're investing another $20,000 into the country of Tanzania. So I'm very, very excited about what God is doing in Tanzania. And I'll probably loop back around and talk about that some more. I wonder why I was missing some notes, and that may be why. Rusty and Adrian Riddick from Cameroon and Sierra Leone. Zach and Jennifer Sportsman in Rwanda and Burundi. Her dad was a missionary and now an area coordinator, a regional coordinator or director that I mentioned. Ken Cantrell. Bradley and Patricia Gray in Zambia. Chris and Penny Gibbs, regional evangelists. Karen Poole, a widow of Robert Poole, who's in Lesotho. Jonathan and Monica Parker, been friends with his dad for many years. I got to eat breakfast with him and talk about their work in Eswatini, which is a kingdom with a monarch. They have a king there. Nick and Pam Sisko in South Africa, area coordinator. Mike and Lisa Long from Zimbabwe. The Shell Herd from Zimbabwe. Roger and Vicky Betterly, pastor from Pennsylvania. They've resigned the church, moved to Africa. They've applied for appointment. I've known them from Pennsylvania. You know, just kind of left it all. Their kids are grown. And they thought, why not? Why don't we spend these years of strength as missionaries? Pretty exciting. Donald and Judith Eastman in Kenya, an older couple. Claudia Robinson, a single lady in Lesotho. Steve and Yvette Phelps in Nigeria. And I want to just tell a little story about the Phelps. In last year, 2023, I was in South Carolina for their district conference and Bible teacher at their camp meeting. And they mentioned in the service in an announcement, we've got missionary couple in the back. Well, it's outside, you know, where they had church in a large hotel ballroom there. So I just kind of, I really want to feel like it was the Lord. I want to go see what missionaries those are. I didn't really hear a name. And I went back there and just met them and started talking to Brother and Sister Phelps. And in the course of conversation, we were talking about maybe the most difficult thing for a missionary is a separation from your family. That you are thousands of miles away, in some cases, from your children and your grandchildren. So Sister Yvette Phelps was talking to me, and she said, you know, that really is true, because I was talking about to them. And she said, we just had a grandson, and it looks like we're not going to be able to go visit him because of our travel schedule and the cost. Well, in a couple of minutes, we're both standing there. I am crying. I'm like, no, you're going to go see that grandbaby. So I contacted Global Missions. I contacted North Carolina, where they were going next. I talked to Brother Harold Linder. I said, could you give the Phelps a few days off so they can see their grandbaby? Email Brother Jury. We sent them $2,000 so they could buy plane tickets and they could cover all their expenses and they could go see their grandbaby. And they sent me this picture. They're sitting in a restaurant with their little grandson, Ezra. And Sister Yvette said, we had a wonderful 48 hours of being with family and baby Ezra. He's a handsome little fellow. Steve and I, thank you. You've touched our hearts. Now, why this matters and why I'm telling this story, I don't like to talk about stories and pat myself on the back, but I know that if the morale of a missionary gets low, that they may not stay on the field. But if we can pray for them and support them and let them know we believe in them and we're behind them, amen? The Phelps were there. And they still remember that Atlanta West made it possible for them to do a personal trip to see their grandson. And who knows how many people will be one to God because a family is motivated and strong. And they know that missions matters to Atlanta West Pentecostal Church. I just want you to know that missions matters more than you can even fathom. While I was there, there's an amazing thing happening where there are regional missionaries that are being appointed by nations that have large works. So Brazil has sent Portuguese-speaking missionaries to Africa. Madagascar has sent missionaries to other parts of Africa. And I found out from Brother Nick Sisko, who coordinated this conference, that there were regional missionaries from Brazil that were in Mozambique and Angola that could not afford to go to the conference. He put out a general appeal. Well, our church covered over $8,000 for these missionary couples to take their family to a conference where they would be trained, where they could be with other missionaries, and they could be connected to the North American missionaries. So your giving goes a long, long way to make a difference. I want to thank you for your faithfulness in giving. I have a picture of these regional missionaries being presented at the conference. Now, the first couple, starting from the left, are these couples that are from Brazil. There's other couples down at the end that came from Madagascar, and Brother Adams has presented them. You probably can't see the little print on the screen, but it's Africa's regional missionaries. One of the most amazing things is that as we, as fields mature in the world, that one of the signs of a mature church is that you are self-supporting and self-sustaining, but you also are a sending nation. So thank God we've got some grandchildren in the Lord of the North American church. So then most of the speakers were general superintendents from African nations. And Brother Adams, I spoke two times, Brother Adams twice, Brother Hunley, I think three times. But most of the speaking in 3 days from 8:30 in the morning till 6:30 at night, yes, pretty long days with a little lunch break, were these general superintendents. And I knew this, but I saw this. They are educated. They are articulate. They are insightful. They are anointed of God. They are leading their nations in Africa to revival, and they were brought to God, trained in our Bible schools there, and leading that work. And there's 1.5 million constituents in Africa of the United Pentecostal Church. Amen. Brother Mankadis from Zimbabwe. Brother Jules from Madagascar. And I have a picture, I think, of him because his message was translated from Malagasy into French by Chris Richardson, and then from French to English by Brother Marcus Brainos, who's in France, but is kind of exploring Africa. He was there and interpreted, that's the word to use, one of my messages. There is Brother Morgan Mwanza from Zambia, Brother Ogwaya from Uganda, Brother Fromini Mushi from Tanzania, and this is not a picture of him, it's a picture of the screen. I don't know why I did not get a picture. But I've already talked about this a little bit, but $21,000 Tanzania projects. This is where I had it in my notes. It kind of confused me. We sponsored crusades. We built a church foundation in bricks and Majinga Kia. We dug a deep bore well in Majinga Kia. We helped in the Bible school with painting and repairs. Brother Drury's been involved in this. Brother John Turner, Brother Calvin Fisher has been there. And again, we're spending another $20,000 the end of this year, the beginning of next year, for the church in Moshi. And in our church, Brother Herbert and Sister Jewel Martin, he's from Cameroon, but he has a burden for Africa. And he's gotten some of his business partners to invest in the work of God there. And he and his wife have made personal trips there and have invested like as much as our church has because of a burden for Tanzania. Because I love the Smoke family, that means a lot to me. But I just want you to know that missions matters and you're making a tremendous difference. Brother Stephen Benda from Liberia has a doctorate in counseling. Michael Ugonga from Nigeria. Beneth Michelle from South Africa, several advanced degrees. I have a picture of him. He was a tremendous speaker, a great host from South Africa. I saw him serving, making sure everyone was okay. This is the spirit of our brothers and sisters in Africa. Brother Duncan Karaku from Kenya. I did not get to hear him. And then there is this African missionary named Daryl Johns, and I spoke on a unified church and fueling the flame of ministry, and I feel like the Lord helped me strengthen those people, proving that I was there, yes, and not on a safari. I wish there was a few more days I would have done that. So missions matters to God. And it matters to people just like the ones I've named. And we have an updated number of our missions giving. Thank you for committing $243,425 for the coming year to global missions, world missions, not just global. Look at the brochure. World Missions is more than global at Atlanta West, and we let you know what that means and where we give. That's actually a decrease over last year. Many of our families are sacrificing for Imagine, but we've done a lot of things. I found out in Louisiana this past summer that the Hunleys' travel budget for their daughters was probably not really there, and it's a long story. So I started reaching out to friends of mine who are pastors, and we've raised over $20,000 to help the Hunleys with the budget when their family needs to travel together. Because if you keep a family strong, you keep the call strong, you keep the work strong, and they're responsible for everything outside of North America, and I thank you for being a part of that. Several years ago, I wrote about the Blessing of Faith promise. It's in your brochure. I'm not going to take the time to read every part of that. You know, stewardship, sacrifice, faith. But when we give, we're a blessing to the people we help. I mean, all the people that I just named in Africa. But we're also blessed to be a shareholder. Like every person that comes to God, we have a part in that. Amen. We legitimately are connected to all of the hundreds of thousands of people that come to God because of the missionaries we support. Over $8,000 a month from our church goes to support individual missions and missions fields around the world. That goes straight to personnel. What a great blessing to be a part of that. And the third component of that blessing, and it's in the brochure, is that God blesses giving. And I want to thank you for having a vision for the world and being so generous to give to the world. Giving and generosity is the culture of our congregation and our missionary personnel around the world. Thank you, and I thank you for your giving so generously to the Lord. Amen. But, you know, the light that shines the farthest is supposed to shine the brightest where? At home. So while we're giving and sending and praying, we need to make sure that it's not just all about the uttermost parts of the earth, because this is our Jerusalem. Metro Atlanta, sprawling Metro Atlanta, this is our Jerusalem. And several months ago, I taught on a Wednesday night on managing the miracle. And in the second half of that Bible study, I talked about the statistics of how few North American Christians ever witness or ever invite anybody to church. And while I can say I'm missions-minded, if I'm only missions-minded about there and not about here, maybe I need to have a spiritual checkup. So in that message, and I just want to give a couple insights into that message, that they interviewed like over 50,000 people over 10 years. And 75 to 90% of people they interviewed, they came to church because of a personal invitation. Wasn't because they thought the pastor was amazing, or they had a great children's ministry, or they were building a new building. They came because a person like you invited them to church. I've just thought of the story of Stuart Lassiter, who's just passed away not too long ago, but missionary to Ecuador. He was a college professor in Kentucky. And his neighbor, people that moved in, were starting a home missions church there in that town. They didn't have a choir. They didn't have praise music. They just had a house. And they started a church in their house. And they invited Brother and Sister Lassiter to come to church there. They were saved in that little primitive church in a little town without a lot of support of stuff that we have that we sometimes rely on. But it was the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that touched Stuart and Nancy Lassiter and brought them into the kingdom of God. And they were missionaries, college professor, missionaries to Ecuador. Brother Joel and I were able to be there. Their national translation, Brother Joel was 15 years old. And we saw that work there that God had used the Lassiters to develop. So it's a personal invitation that makes the greatest difference of anything that you can do to bring somebody into the kingdom of God. Like 83 to 90 something percent of people say, if someone invited me to church, I would go with them. in multiple surveys, but only 2% of church members ever invite an unchurched person to church. So if we will, they will. When John the Baptist pointed out Jesus, two of his disciples followed him, and Andrew followed Jesus, and the first thing he did was to find his own brother Simon, and he brought him to Jesus. And then Jesus found Philip, and the first thing Philip did was go get his brother Nathanael and bring him to Jesus and say, come and see. It's that, that's just how it works. It's just that easy. Randy and Carolyn Adams, missionaries to Togo and Benin for I think 20 years, regional director of the continent of Africa, two of the most health conscious, godly, wonderful people I know. But he was working in a construction company in Columbia, Mississippi, when the very wealthy owner of that company, Tommy Wallace, who I've known, he passed away now for many years, went to Bible college with his son. Tommy Wallace, who's made an incredible difference in that church, it's public knowledge, paid off their church with a check of $3.2 million. Generous Tommy Wallace, riding down the road with Randy Adams, witnessed to him and brought Randy Adams and his wife to God. Randy and Carolyn Adams. Brother and Sister Adams, I've known them for many years, Mississippi connection. They started a church in Port Gibson, Mississippi, a little podunk town, and then God called them to Africa. But missions matters because Tommy Wallace witnessed to Randy Adams. Denzel Richardson, that great revival in Madagascar. Denzel Richardson's kind of a middle-aged guy working in a company, just a blue-collar worker. His co-worker witnesses to him, and Denzel Richardson is saved, and he is called to preach, and he is called to Madagascar. And that work there started with a co-worker witnessing to Denzel Richardson. Ken Cantrell, he walked into the Life Church in Kansas City, and after service, Brother Stan Gleason met him, found out that Ken Cantrell was a manager of a sporting goods store. Brother Gleason went to that store the next day, wandered around the store until Ken Cantrell walked out on the floor and said, I needed to buy some golf balls, but not really. Talked to Ken Cantrell, said, well, you were in church yesterday and set up a Bible study and brought Ken Cantrell to the Lord and discipled him. And Ken Cantrell was called to preach, and Ken Cantrell was called to be a missionary. And now he's a regional director because somebody believed in the power of the gospel and why missions matters. If you're able, please stand. What a great, powerful gospel God has given us. What a hungry, needy world. And Jesus said that the harvest is truly plenteous. There's no lack of lost people, but the laborers are few. So I'm asking you to respond to the call of God to be a laborer. If you have a few moments, I'd like for you to come to the altar in a few minutes. Parents of kids going on the retreat, students will go to the youth center. But right now, why don't we come? I wanted to give you a report of sorts. When Barnabas and Saul got back from that first missionary journey, they gave a report to the church of how God had worked among them and how Gentiles were obedient to the faith. And tonight I wanted to see how your prayers and your giving are making a difference. But I also wanted to remind myself and remind you that the mission begins here with somebody you know right now. Let's pray and ask God to help us understand the importance of the mission. Amen. Why missions matters.